actually give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event. And when you see it that way, it doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift drink and hanging with the people you just did battle with should never be taken away. But I mean, what's wrong with, like, calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to, like, it's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the School of Hard Knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle. But it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm. And I think that to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Foods Live, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your geese on claws.
Here are the Good Brothers. Oh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen. Plum Love Foods is live right here on your radio dial. It's your boy, Chef Plum. Joined, of course, by the one, the only, Chef Jeffy and Chef
Hello.
Dan.
Hi.
Hi. Living
hey,
the dream. Living the dream, boys. Living the dream. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. We're excited to spend this time coming in your ear right now. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to us, to download the program, to give us the opportunity to vomit our opinions into your ear and allow you to get down with what we call genius, Jeffy.
Genius.
Genius. I don't know if that's actually genius, but all I know is that when Dan talks, people listen. That's what matters.
Listen, and Dan talks, bro. Yeah, have you seen Dan's Instagram?
I have.
Follows any Yo, Dan's Instagram stories might be some of my favorite shit. He'll like hit you with some. He'll be like, "Listen, y'all." I'm like, "Who are you talking to with all this information? You're trying to."
Yo, honestly, I'm usually talking to myself. I'm just like, I have to remind
amazing.
Myself.
It's because
yo,
he likes vitamins.
Remind yourself.
He's
yo,
Dan,
listen.
Dan's a big vitamin
they
fan.
They made yo. I didn't smoke weed, and then I was like, they made it legal, and I was like, fuck it, let me try it. I was like, oh, this is shit.
Yo,
I appreciate.
Oh, it's legal now, so it's okay. It's like they were like, yo, make it legal. I'm like, oh, so it must be all right because the government said it's okay. So let me go ahead and do that.
Sure. I appreciate that for sure.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that's what we do here at Plum Love Foods Live. It's all about spitting that knowledge, spitting that, you know, it's the chef fire. That's what it's talking about right now. And I tell you what, it's full on. It's a go. For me, it's officially summer after July 4th. I know it seems to shorten the summertime, but in my opinion, July 4th kind of lays the groundwork for the rest of the summer. And it's a short summer, 2 months. I get it. But we have a blast out, doing it out here in the Hamptons. But I think everywhere, in my opinion, like July 4th for me, because not everybody kicks it off on Memorial Day, Jeffy. Like they say that's the official start of summer, but July 4th is when everybody's like, fuck it, I'm taking time off of work. It's summertime.
Fuck yeah.
I have a question about that.
Wait, hang on a second. Dan, I want to totally, and thank you for engaging with me as my co-host doesn't. What the fuck does that mean? Fuck yeah.
That was called the
who
filler.
Are you talking just... to that's not us on the show right now? That's my question for you.
Our guest that just canceled,
who?
Nick.
Oh well, Nick's not gonna be our friend anymore. Anybody who wants to go to a hotel, don't go to Hotel Colonnade. Nick Callis is fucking a douchebag.
Well, I mean, He's not a chef anymore, so that's good.
Here's the problem. I wish you had texted me and told me that, and I wouldn't have blasted you.
I did.
No,
I was trying to.
I have no
that's
text
why
for
you. That's why I wasn't talking.
Well, if you texted and said, hey, I need a second.
It's delivered to you. It is. It says, I just, you're lying. Don't lie. Okay. Don't put me under the bus like that. I got bus tracks all over my back. It hurts. I got blue checks over here saying that you got it.
Your text says, Nick just canceled. He's stuck at a few stairs today. A restaurant.
Well, I meant to say a restaurant, but I have gorilla thumbs, and I was...
Behind the scenes of Plumless Foods.
This is how the magic happens.
I do want you all to know that Jeffy's been working hard to put together a show tonight. We were supposed to have Tijuana Danger Dogs on, which is going to be fun.
Oh, man.
They were going to play
rock
music.
And roll.
Yeah, it was going to be a fucking dope program. They had to cancel because someone, I guess, got AIDS, and we're not sure how they're doing. Hopefully they'll make it through.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the AIDS is, it's temporary AIDS. It's like
I don't
Down
know
syndrome.
If there is temporary AIDS, Jeffy. I'm just saying. I'm not sure that's a thing. I mean, We may lose one of the Tijuana Danger Dogs.
No, look at Michael Magic Johnson.
By the way, Johnson. I pronounce the J in Tijuana, by the way. I just want you to know that.
Tijuana.
Yeah.
I think they do, too. It's a very very American.
But we're going to get them back on the program. We love those guys. They're fantastic.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I went to high school with Mike Johnny Danger. He's the... You know, one of the dads and lead guitar player, rock and roll family they got going on over there. Such a cool story, and they rock so hard.
Great fucking band, dude. They're on my Spotify playlist. They're awesome.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they're tearing it up, man. They're touring all over, and that's actually one of the reasons that they can't get on the show is they're picking up more and more dates. So, you know, the guys still work full-time jobs, too, so they have to work and, you know, take time off and flip stuff around, so... You know, God bless them. We hope to get them on soon, though. I got some more dates with them out there, so we're gonna lock one in, and they're gonna rock this show. So,
well, here's one of the things I explained to my NPR producer today, and it was quite enlightening for her. And I'm used to it here on the podcast. I said, "Listen, we get them on the way up. We never talk to them when they're all the way up, but we get them on the way back down too. So don't worry, they'll hit us back." It's just for all the guys that know, I'm talking about Dame Drops, our buddy, our personal friend.
Yo, he's just a hater.
He's fucking, I'll tell you what, he Dame, oh, hit, Dame told me to email Netflix to get permission to talk to him, and I was like, hey, fuckface, we played Pac-Man together and drank beer, like, we're boys, what are you talking about? So
yeah, good,
I had to explain to NPR, I was like, we'll get him on the way up and we get him on the way down. I was like, if you want to get Jan Brady on the show, if you want to get the guy that was on Home Improvement, we can get them. They're on the way down.
Wilson?
Yeah, we can get all them people. You want Burt Ward, who played Robin on the 60s Batman? I can get that dude. But you want somebody on the way up right now, like a Dame Drops? Not going to happen.
I mean, this is the nature of the game, though, ain't it? Like, I mean,
well, he's also mad busy, man. I'm not hating, man. He's a DIY dude.
I'm not hating, but I'm just shooting it out there, too.
No, I think, but he's right. I think you're both right. Like, that's what it is. Like, you on the way up. You know, a lot of times
you say yes to everything on the way up.
You're overwhelmed by things that are going on, and I don't know. You say that, but when you get to a point to where you know there's a lot of things going on, and there's so much, and I don't know about that whole. I speak for me, and I always speak for me. Ain't another motherfucker ever gonna speak for me. That's just me personally. But
you can speak for me, Dan.
Hold on a second, Plum. Don't speak for him, bro.
Oh, sometimes. I was telling him he could speak for me.
Yeah, you can speak for us though, Dan. Please speak for us. Dan's the official spokesperson for Plum Love Foods.
I love that. Dan. Congratulations, Dan. Attaboy, Dan, getting that new title. No, attaboy.
Right. I don't want.
Attaboy.
I'm just saying. I don't want spokesman. Y'all to think like. You know, I'm.
That's a great position, Dan. I like that position. There we go, Dan.
Hey, attaboy. There he is. Yo, come on now. Right, I'm talking.
Listen. So,
right. On the floor, Dan. You have the floor. What's to bring up number two?
Here we go.
Yo. You know what, y'all motherfuckers? Is something else. Now I'm going to have to.
There it is. No, Dan, the official spokesman for Plum Love Foods. Right there. Attaboy.
All right.
I hate y'all.
Okay. Our tagline is this show sucks. So,
this show stinks. I'm not even lying. I don't know why people listen to this shit. Hey, listen. look, Dan, I think you should. You're a great official spokesman. I love it. I think you should definitely be the guy. Unfortunately, we're going to have Chef Nick Callis join us. Look, shout out to Nick. He's doing a career move right now. We're going to have him talk about that a little bit, but I guess he's stuck under some stairs somewhere in a restaurant or some shit. And
yeah, something like that. That was the story. He was like, I'm locked under some stairs. Send help. And I was like, oh, man, bummer you can't be on.
send help. Ah, fuck. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, I think it's a joke, right? It's probably a joke.
But big shout out to him. He's actually he's actually stopping working with the Lions Group. He's going back to his old hotel, Jeffy.
I know, but not as a chef, thank God, right? I mean, that's what we're so happy that he's not cooking anymore.
I don't know, man. He's really good for the business. Jobs.
You know, Nick's the fucking G.
He's good for the business. His food's fucking delicious.
His food's amazing. But he's a food and beverage director now at the Culinon Hotel. So I don't know if he gets to put on whites anymore. I think in the post I read that he's wearing a suit. Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, let me just tell you about this hotel real quick. It's in the heart of Boston. It's like 14, 15 floors. It has a rooftop like bar and pool. We did an episode of this program there, actually. Dave was with me when we did an event out there with Nick. And
what are the rooms? You guys stood there?
Oh, yeah. Fucking dude. It's a G hotel, no doubt about
it. I can't wait to go to Boston and see Nick then. Jeez, dude. Now we have a place to stay. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Nick will look after you.
It's my boy. Boy, Nicky.
But a G hotel. And I'll tell you what, he always loved that place. And when he left, he was like, yeah, kind of. You know, my gig is great. I'm happy with my gig. I'm experiencing different things, but I really miss the hotel. And, you know, his chef that he worked for there that owned the place, like Nick really took the reins and did a lot with that place. And they had some serious events there and some serious guests, and Nick made a lot of friends. And, I mean, when I was there with him, Nick runs the show at that hotel. There's no question about it. And now I promise you that he runs the show there. So big shout out to our buddy Nick Callias. We love him.
Absolutely. Nicky.
I think it's dope. I thought about doing that too. Like, I think that's big props to him, because I thought about it before I ended up at the Pantry, because I was getting tired of restaurant shit. Like, that's just hard, you know, day in and day out. You fucking working long hours. It doesn't matter what the fuck's going on. You're there till fucking, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning sometimes. That shit is stressful as fuck. So you try to find something else to do, some other thing to get into. And
drugs.
And that shit, in a hotel, and you could run the shit, food and wine. Like, you could sit back.
A dope as fuck hotel, by the way.
Yeah, you could throw some, you know, you could throw some input in it. They ain't like, they'd be like, oh, who the fuck are you? They know who the fuck you are.
Right.
You'd be like, yo, maybe you want to try this. Like, this is in season. Like, check this out. Like, you know, whatever. And then it's a great spot. I props to him, man. That's awesome.
Shout out to our boy. We love him. Shout out to him. That's our dude right there. Big friend of the program, absolutely, too. Hey, I want to point out, too, something else, Jeffy. It wasn't on our rundown sheet, but I got to bring it up. Dan, I don't know how much you don't know about this. Your boy here, Jeffy, Chef Plum here, as a private chef for many, many years, doing caterings and whatnot. I went and spent 2 hours working in a restaurant on Sunday. Dan, did you know that?
No, that's awesome.
I did. I went into a restaurant that maybe we should probably leave it unnamed, don't you think?
Absolutely. I don't think you should put anybody on blast, but I think that it was interesting. It's interesting your perspective of the whole.
Yeah, I went to help someone out who's never asked me for help. They asked me for help for one of their new restaurants, and they said, "Can you please go in for a couple hours and help?" And I went in, and you know, my mentality in restaurants has always been the executive chef, the person in charge, needs to set the tone, right? Dan, do you agree with what I'm saying there?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, yes.
Set the tone, right? Mm-hmm. Your job isn't to go in there and bang out millions of dishes and do all that. That's why you have sous chefs and chef de cuisine. Set the tone. Make everybody happy and all that stuff. And the particular place I was at, the person who runs it, did the old chef, you know, the old school executive chef trick of, you know, I've been working too much, I need a day off, so let me call and talk about I have chest pains and it feels like my chest is heavy and I'm having a heart attack, when it really wasn't. I just want a day off. And there's a whole bunch of bad stuff going on there. And anyway, I went in there, Dan, and within 20 minutes of me being in a restaurant, and this is what I'm talking about setting the tone and having your mentality. Within 20 minutes of me being in a restaurant that I don't work in, Dan, I had everybody in there asking me questions, asking me how to do stuff. How do we do this? What do we do, chef? And, you know, all I was doing was just what I just said a second ago, setting the tone, being positive. The general manager was going out to have a lineup with the team before they do 400 covers in a night. And I said, hey, when you get out there, man, before you go, tell them this is going to be the best Sunday they've ever had. This is the greatest Sunday in the history of fucking Sundays, and you are so happy to be here and experience it with them. And you're going to go through it with them together. It's going to be hard. It's going to be fast. But in the end, we're all going to make money and have a great time here, serve some fantastic food, and have great service. And no matter what happens, remember, I've got your back throughout all of this. No matter what. It's the greatest Sunday that's ever happened.
You said that much to those guys in the beginning?
A little bit. I kind of paraphrased it more.
Well, he said it to one guy who had to go say it to a bunch of other guys, and I'm sure, you know.
Well, this dude went like this. He went, whoa. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. I'm like, wow, man.
He was like,
I'm so inspired right now. Like,
but that's how it has to be when you're when you are setting the tone. You have to set the tone. If you don't set the tone, it's going to fall apart.
I believe. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Positive thinking. You're right there. Like, you're saying the positivity.
Yo, for too long, you did a wedding. We all did. The three of us did a wedding together a weekend ago. We set the tone. The three of us set the tone. But we set the tone.
By calling each other assholes.
Wow, but obviously we were having fun and being goofy. That sets the tone, though, don't you think?
Yo, so Oates comes up to me today and he's like, yo, Chef, I just want to tell you thank you so much. That was one of the greatest experiences of my life. Like, being with y'all and the experience, and that was, like, something I've never done before.
You're this like, what, when you broke the fucking juicer, kid?
Yo.
Dude, he has the death grip because he has that, like Lemmy strength because he broke his fucking neck or whatever. He can't control his muscles. He's like, and he, like, twitches out. Oh, my God. His poor penis.
But look, I just want to put a bow on what I was just saying there, and then we can move on to the shit, but... Like, it's important as an executive chef, I think that we all need to remember, as an executive chef, as a number one in a catering operation, in a restaurant, even as a private chef, it is most important to set the tone. You control the tone of the evening, of the service, whatever it may be. And if you're if you set the tone poorly, negatively, then the whole service is going to be garbage, right? If you come out there positive and set the tone as a great environment, a good situation, I'm here for you. We're going to do this together. We're a team. It changes the entire dynamic. And I want to point out, like, Dan, Jeffy, like, I'm not what I want to point out, but, like, I've always kind of tried to be that guy, and that's my default. When I go into a restaurant, that's my default. We're going to get our ass kicked. It's going to suck. But we might as well be happy about it, because being negative about it only makes the night fucking longer. So
no, and I believe you. Like, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, man. Sorry, I'm just.
No, I'm like, I've worked with you on numerous occasions, and you saying all this is not fucking bullshit. Like, you stand by that shit. Like, I've worked with you side by side, and that's what you preach. Like, even when you're the maddest, you're like, you know, hey. This and go talk to this guy because I'm trying to stay positive, and I'm like, bro, I got you. You be positive. I positively will take care of this.
Well,
and I go over and I smile and I go, yo, for real, you got this, right? He's like, yeah, and he's like, hey, I got this. I'm like, all right. See, the tone was great. The guy started started understanding what was going on. And it was all that positivity. I was just like, yo, stay positive. And we were all positive together.
I think, and by the way, that client was incredibly happy. They have sent me multiple messages. We crushed it that night, that weekend. But it's just one of those things, man, where I think that it gets lost in translation with chefs, Jeffy. Like, it's, you know, we get so concerned and so focused on getting the food out and doing all the covers that we forget that our job is not just about doing the food when you hit that top level. It's about setting the tone.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely. I think that a lot of people get, they lose sight of the team, you know, because it's like, I've done this before. Like, it becomes like about the food, and it becomes like, I start taking everything personal, right? That everybody does. Yeah. And I'm not like seeing it as like a hard work and everything. I'm just like, what the fuck? How come you can't just do this like the way I'm telling you to do it? And like getting like all upset. And like, and it's so counterproductive, you know? I just feel like kind of your attitude, like you said, like coming in and being that guy, being like, hey, man, shit's going to happen. This is going to be tough. We're going to be in the shit. Things are good. This, you know, just got to keep plugging, though. You can't stop.
But we're going to do it
turn
together.
Around,
and we're going to smile. And
I'm going to be right next to you. Exactly. Keep singing our song.
And you're going to mess up, and it's okay. I'm going to mess up, and it's okay. The servers are going to mess up, and it's our job, by the way, and people are going to fucking flame me for this, boys, and I'll move on. I'm sorry, but if a server fucks up, dude, they're in front of the customer. Stop yelling at them. Let them know. Fix the problem. Don't fucking scream at them because you had to make a fucking swordfish three times. You don't think they fucking know that? Bottom line is they're working with the customer. They know shit's fucked up. We want to keep the customer happy. The customer's happy. The customer comes back to the restaurant. They come back to the restaurant. They bring friends. Their friends come back. Then the restaurant makes money. The restaurant makes money. It stays in business. As it stays in business, you get a raise and move up and make more money. Bottom line, work as a team. Stop fighting anybody who doesn't agree or doesn't do like the things you do or makes a mistake here and there. Making mistakes is part of being human and part of learning and growing. It's okay to fuck up. Just fix it. That's what's important. Sorry, Jeffy. I know you don't fucking fully agree with me there, but that's the important part.
No, man. I do agree with you. I think that, you know, you just gotta, you, like you said, it comes from the top down, though. You know, it's gotta be whoever's leading the ship has to lead the ship.
And set the tone.
We say that all the time. We say it all the time in everything, though. It's like that on a shoot. It's like that on... I'm sure in a surgery room, you know, somebody's the boss and somebody directs the ship and everybody has to follow suit and make that happen. And, you know, we all have the same goal at the end of the day, right? We all want to put smiles on faces. So it's like, let's do it.
Smiles on faces, asses in seats. That all happens. Fucking we all get paid. That's what's up.
Possibly hook up with a hostess. Yes.
I don't have a problem with that either. Dan, your final thoughts on what I just said there. Am I crazy?
No, you're absolutely right. Like, I get it positively all the way. I think it's hard sometimes because when you're talking to people, you're talking to people with the same passion that you assume as you have.
Right. But
sometimes you have those people that don't have that same passion and really don't give a fuck.
That's
when it's hard to get through to those people and try to find a way to. So you kind of have to treat everybody a little bit differently. You have to find out how someone is and. But if you approach those with positivity and you come to them with and figuring out, hey, what do you need to feel better about what you're doing? Like, you know, what's going on in your life? Or, you know, and I try to offer, you know, that to just, you know, be there for people. Sometimes just, you know, asking how their day is going goes a long way into making them feel better about everything. And they'll just be like, oh, it's okay. And just you asking makes them go, oh, this person might actually give a fuck. And giving a fuck is what makes the difference between them turning around and going, yes, how can I help you? And them turning around going, yeah, what can I do for you? And it's really that simple. And if you just, you know, take that into consideration anytime you interact with anybody, you're good.
That's it, man. I mean, that's it right there, boys. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think it's just important to, you know. The takeaway from this 25-minute conversation that wasn't supposed to be is I think it's important for us to set the tone. I think it's important, Jeffy. Set the tone is where it's at.
Set the tone.
That's it. Hey, when we come back, we're going to be joined by the one, the only Chef Randy. He's got his top five for us. We can't wait to talk about that a little bit with him. Plus, we're going to tackle a few things. Jeffy's going to reveal his own independent tests he has. From Subway Tuna. Is it real? I don't know. We're going to find out, that's for sure, right here on Plum Loaf Foods Live. You're joined with Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, and Chef Dan. Stay right there. We'll see you guys in just a minute.
Scientists and water specialists have toiled many long hours to develop a complicated and proprietary formula, but the wait is over! Powdered water is here! It's totally organic! gluten free. It's cleaner than Lake Minnetonka. Powdered water. We took powdered water to the streets of New York City. And let some lucky people try powdered water.
I don't get it. Do I sniff it?
Powdered water.
So I add it to my water and it makes it taste better.
Powdered water.
Powdered water is amazing. I can feel the difference now. Wow. Wait. Wow.
Was that good?
Just read it.
Powdered water.
Powdered water may cause fits of hysteria, hip dysplasia, hypertension, restless leg syndrome, lupus, loss of toes, AIDS, insomnia, demonic possession, but in some cases, it makes me awesome.
A sizzle plate product.
Oh yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinsui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com. Are you looking for that brand new gear that would make you stand out in a crowd, Jeffy? Are you looking for that article of clothing that makes people say, "Hey, what's your name, fella?"
Hell yeah.
Well, if you are, you got to check out chefplum.com/store. Dan, you could get the greatest, newest, awesomest gear from the program right there. chefplum.com/store. You can get that shirt that says "This show stinks." Are you looking for a weight mop shirt? Dan, I've seen you wearing a weight mop shirt. It looks amazing.
Yeah, I want powdered water.
Hey, powdered water shirts may be coming down the line, that's for sure. But check them out. chefplum.com/store. Get some gear. Listen, we got masks. Are you still wearing a mask? Dan, are you still wearing a mask? Because we got masks.
Yeah. I need two of them.
There you go. I got those. I got cell phone cases. We got masks. We got shopping bags. We got t-shirts and sweatshirts. You name it. Chefplum.com/store. You can get anything you need. It's all right there for you. What do you need, Dan? We'll get you whatever you need.
I want a Chef Plum pop vinyl.
I'm not sure what a pop vinyl is, but we're going to get one of them too.
You know, the big headed, like they got the big eyes and they're like eccentric.
Who would you like from
character?
You want me? You want a Chef Plum?
Yeah, with the big. Yeah, you have like a big purple or blue mohawk. Oh, it changes color depending on the time of day.
We'll let Jeffy know we want those,
and it'll be a bobblehead and everything.
Check it out, chefplum.com/store. Get some gear from the program. Oh, yeah, coming back live right here on Plum Love Foods Live. Shit is getting a little weird around here. I don't even know how to explain that shit. What the fuck, Dan?
Hi, I'm Chef Dan. Nice to meet you.
Let me tell you something, buddy. Hey, I'm telling you, I think that that bobblehead or whatever you call it, that puffy pop, might be good.
Yo, pop vinyl. Yo, they're all the rage. They're collectibles.
Oh,
they got all
is?
The Marvel characters. Loki.
Don't get me started.
Black Widow.
Hey,
Widow.
We should reach out to our boy about getting on here and talking about some Marvel stuff soon.
I'm going to see it tomorrow in the movie theater. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm going to see a Marvel movie in the theaters. Ah, I can't wait.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Jeffy, do you hear the excitement in your boy's voice? Did we lose Jeff? What the fuck happened?
Yo, but I'm happy as hell. I'm gonna get to go with my nephews. I haven't been able to go with my nephews to a Marvel movie in over 5 years.
Nice. Like
7 years. And we used to go see them all together. Yo, you have no idea. I'm gonna cry in the first 5 minutes of the fucking movie.
Are you really?
Oh yeah, no, definitely. It's like historical. what's going to happen tomorrow. Like, I am going to be like, my sister and I had a separation, so we didn't see each other for a while. And I used to go with my nephews to see all the Marvel.
You can't get deep on family shit. We just trying to, fill time.
I'm sorry, you was asking questions. You was talking about Black Widow. Jeff Sloth in the Matrix or something, and I'm Jesus. Just trying to talk.
Jeff, do you hear him, talking about, family shit, and I haven't talked to my sister, and trying to get her on the show and vent?
That next episode of Formula Foods.
I think Jeffy might be muted, because I can't hear him.
I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know what the fuck he's doing either. Look, the bottom line is this. It's exciting. Oh.
Hey, there I am.
Oh, my fucking God.
I must have hit my computer. I'm sitting here, talking to you guys, and I thought you were talking shit to me. What do you mean? You can't hear me?
This show stinks, I'm telling you.
I'm sorry. I leaned on my computer, and I muted it like an idiot. That was really smooth.
Oh, my fucking God. Jeffy, you know I love you.
I know you love me. That was a beautiful move, man. I mean, the idiocracy there.
Well, what I want to point out is how much Dan just fucking flawlessly jumped right in there.
Dude, I love that Dan jumped in there, and I'm commenting. I'm he wants his sister to talk to us? What did he just say? Does he want his sister to come on the show? Really?
Hey, that's a terrible idea.
What? Invent about who? You? To us? Or shit in her life?
I don't know. Either way, it's not good.
Like a Donahue episode or fucking, Good Morning.
This motherfucker just said Donahue.
I'm feeling it.
All right, look, it's time.
I honestly think me and Plum could really help some people.
We could. It's time to be educated, gentlemen. And we're sitting here, in the business, we've got some experience in this business. All three of us together, we're probably cumulatively close to 100 years. But I've got a gentleman joining us right now who has 100 years on his own. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the icon, the legend, the man himself, Chef Randy. There he is. Attaboy, yeah, Chef Randy. Yeah. It's always a pleasure, my friend. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Chef Plum. Good to hear from you, Chef Jeff. Always a pleasure. Chef Dan, is your sister hot?
That's a great question.
Yes.
That's kind of neat to know. Maybe y'all do want her on the show.
It is, but here's the problem. I can't really... Anytime, if I was even hanging out with Dan's sister, I would just think about Dan. And, Dan is a very attractive man from the neck down. Randy, what's going on with you, my friend?
Trying to get through the summer. I'm okay. I'm dealing with old man things, all old men deal with. I got the hip bursitis.
They got blue pills.
Besides that, I'm good.
A little blue pill will fix that for you, buddy. They make those now.
I don't think I'll fix that. But I tell you what, I've been dealing with this since, early April. And if the doctor told me to eat little rabbit turds to make it go away, I'd do that. I'd do anything. Just make it go away, dude.
Why don't you just pierce your nipples?
Ooh.
If your hip hurts real bad, just pull on those nipples.
He did that shit in the 80s. Yeah, it's already done.
Just hit myself in the head with a hammer. It'll get my mind off of my hip, right?
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
Damn, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like hearing those stories,
that
man.
That sucks, I know.
I don't like that at all. We're out here busy. Our busy season has started. We're working our ass off, doing all kinds of crazy shit. Chef, I got to tell you something I'm making right now before we get to your top five, because I'm going to hear you yell at me, okay?
No, go ahead.
So it all started, a quick little story with it. I've been doing on TV here in Connecticut, I've been doing these TikTok recipes. You've seen those, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
So one of them was making creme brulee from ice cream, okay? And I got to tell you, Chef, I have started doing creme brulee of the week at my job, and I buy ice cream, I melt it. For every half a cup of ice cream, I have one egg yolk. I whip them and I roast. I don't roast them. I cook them in the oven at 350 in a water bath. Chef, they come out perfect every fucking time.
Well, dude, I use it to make anglaise all the time.
You melt it?
Why make anglaise when you can just melt the ice cream?
I was ready to get beaten up here.
Dude, you got anglaise.
Exactly.
Chef, I felt like I was confessing at an AA meeting, and I was getting ready for a beating, and you were like, oh, that's a fucking good idea.
When it gets down to it, bro, when it's balls against the wall, you do what you got to do. You're doing something safe, you know. It's nothing bad or anything like that. But, you know.
You call in a shortcut Perazzi. I'll show you all that shit.
You know, it's just like, you know, making hollandaise, you know. Who makes hollandaise over a double boiler? Who does that anymore?
Me?
Just Plum.
What's I the did. With I you? Pushed a chick off the fucking side of the stage. I made a creme glace.
That's a callback. But Chef, how would you make? How do you make it, Chef?
You got a Vitamix?
Oh fuck! Okay,
Dave, Chef Dave Boredom chimed in at the same exact time in the chat and said Vitamix.
Absolutely.
Damn.
Why would anybody want to do it any other way?
Do you let it get hot in the Vitamix?
Dude, you know, I do, you know, blend my eggs for a little while, you know, like maybe 30 seconds before I start. But you can even add hot butter and it's not going to break. You know, it can't be really, really hot, hot, hot. But,
right,
man, it just, you know, the blender separates those proteins so finely that it accepts that oil, man.
Dude,
let me tell you something. Falls he's doing hollandaises for sale, all right? He's got an apparatus that's a 450 horsepower motor that blends eggs.
Wow. Wow.
I've seen him take this hollandaise. And look, there's no other binder in this. All right?
Oh, my God.
You take hollandaise, you can throw it in a skillet, and it's going to take about, on high heat, it's going to take about 3 or 4 minutes to break down. You can store it at 150. All night long, and it won't break down.
What?
Because, you know, when you make you got a hollandaise sauce.
Sure.
You know, for a dinner menu, somebody's making hollandaise, you know, at about 8:30, 9 o'clock, right?
Of course.
You got to. I mean, just because it's a science experiment in a freaking bowl, right?
Yeah. You make the croissant, a little shallot, and you yeah.
Yeah, you know, but no, he's got a hollandaise that will hold. You know, you hold it at 140, it'll stay there for the whole service.
Oh, my God. This is okay. I don't feel so bad now. Jeffy,
yep.
I just talked to one of the top culinary instructors in the entire country, and he just told me it's okay to make my creme brulee ice cream.
And look, if the vanilla ice cream, you know, is nothing but good stuff, you know, and no preservatives in it, why make your life hard?
Hey, I mean, chocolate chef. I used chocolate ice cream tonight. Some weird French brand. It was delicious. I got chocolate creme brulee tomorrow.
Okay, all right.
You mean like Breyers?
What?
Yeah, don't you have ice cream place right around the corner from you?
No, it's some French shit. I can't remember. It's like Levan or some shit.
Yeah, but
Van Leeuwen.
I'm all for doing the shortcuts when they make sense and it's real food. You're not doing anything.
Chef, I want you to know that I was about to pitch to the boys before this conversation that we should all come down and take a class with you. But after hearing this, never mind.
you know what we're going to do. You're all going to come down here. We're going to go out and, you know, eat and drink. So
yeah, of course. Chef, it's always great to hear your voice. Yeah. I'm sure you got a top five for us. I'm looking forward to hearing it. So let me play your music for you. Is that cool?
Yes.
Did you change it?
Not yet. I'm still Chef, I'm working my ass off, Chef. Bear with me. We'll get there.
It's great.
All right, all you chefs, cooks, and shoemakers out there, get ready. It's time to learn from Chef Randy's Top 5.
It's so stupid.
Chef Randy's Top 5.
There it is. All right, Chef.
Let me ask you something. Did they give awards for podcasts?
I win tons of awards. Yes, we win lots of awards.
Yeah, Tony.
Not for your intros, though, funny enough. Huh?
That's a guy. You're a cocksucker. There's podcast awards. You have to submit yourself. You have to pay a bunch of money to submit yourself. Listen, we should get involved in that. Randy's got a great point, Jeffy. We should be more involved in that shit.
I don't know if you knew this or not. I used to work radio a long time ago.
Used to do listen, I have it written in my notes right here. I have a voiceover that I have written in my notes to tell Jeff we should send this to Randy and have him voice this over for us.
I won a couple of Radio Advertising Bureau awards.
Well, I didn't know.
Yeah, for commercials that I produced. So anyway,
I know they had commercials in porn.
Are y'all ready?
He said he didn't know they had radio commercials in porn, Chef.
Oh, shut up. Are y'all ready for this or not?
I can't wait.
I'm never ready.
Let's
go.
Let me tell you something. One of my favorite times of the month is when I get a chance to talk to you, Chef Randy, so I'm excited.
Exactly. Me too, Plum. Okay. Five universal truths about restaurant employee locker rooms.
Okay. Let's do it.
Number five, the employee locker room's a shithole.
Breaking news.
Number four, the bathroom in the employee locker room is a shithole within a shithole.
Well,
never has hand soap. Never has hand soap or toilet paper.
Okay. I mean,
number three.
Wait, time out, Chef Randy. Hang on a second. I gotta ask you. Time out there for one second. I guess it depends on your establishment, because I've sent some gentlemen in to clean a women's restroom in a late night situation at a restaurant, and it was a shit show. It was a disaster.
That's the word.
Like, girls don't give a.
My locker rooms are spotless, but you know, I've been in a few, bro, that just would make you. Yeah, women are the worst. They are.
They fuck up a bathroom so bad.
No doubt.
You guys have always worked in fancy places. I've never had a locker room in most of the restaurants I've worked at.
I've had a break room. I've had some lockers in a hotel.
It was like a shitty bathroom at the back of the line that was always had a dishwasher in it.
We have a break room at the pantry that is fucking ridiculous. First of all, the motherfucker who leaves and knows no one else is there, they have some idea that they could just leave the key and leave the fucking thing unlocked. Now, it's a separate building. It happens to be behind the store. So they go in there. No one's there. And they go, we're just going to leave the key and leave the fucking door unlocked and go back to work. And I'm like, in what fucking world do you just leave your house unlocked, leave your key on the fucking table, and just leave? Like, the fuck is wrong with you? That shit drives me fucking crazy.
He's very angry.
Yes, it's pissing me off. I don't understand. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, we have a break room. We go and eat. You're in a safe place. You leave a key in the fucking break room when nobody's there. Why?
That doesn't make any
fucking sense.
Right. Sorry, Chef.
No, it is a good point.
Yeah, I apologize, Chef. Boys got a little angry there.
Well, you know, Dan, I wish you well. I hope everything.
Thank you. Hey, I appreciate it. That's all I get. So if
we're just keeping an eye on his blood pressure. We're just trying to keep an eye on his blood pressure.
It is going up.
Y'all have a D-fib there?
Oh, 100%. Yes, Chef. Yeah. We got a couple of them.
All right. Better to keep that handy with them around, okay? All right, number three. Of course, the toilet seat in the employee locker room bathroom is always broken. Right?
That motherfucker is always attached by one. Like, usually it's two lock nuts that hold it. Fucking one of them is on there.
Yeah, I know.
It's like
number two. There's always Latin music blasting in the locker room. It's a friggin' fiesta, right?
Jeff, generally. You got nothing?
Generally. Yeah. It's always an ethnic music coming from the locker room, I'll say.
Yeah.
Listen, I think it's great.
The number one universal truth about restaurant employee locker rooms is this really only happens in the best, top-of-the-line places. There's always five half-used boxes of cornstarch on top of the locker rooms in the summertime.
Silky smooth, cool. Chef. Silky smooth.
We all know why, don't we?
Yes, Chef.
Prevent some swamp ass.
Oh my God!
Oh,
hey,
man.
Chef. One time, I took the cornstarch box out of the bathroom. And I put a handful of the cornstarch in my pocket, and when I went to the bar afterwards with a bunch of the line guys, we were all hanging out. I kept doing little spills of cornstarch on the bar stool they were sitting on, and tell them they dropped something. These motherfuckers. You have never seen some dudes jump on the floor so quick. It was awesome. And Jeffy, I know you're offended, but that's a true story.
Jeffy Zeeland.
Jeffy's like, that's fucked up. Why would you do it to somebody? But it's a true story.
That is fucked up.
He's crying out. Probably happened to him.
Oh, shit.
It would have. If someone was as smart as Plum, they would have done that to me.
Absolutely.
No one's smart.
Hey, Chef, quick question for you, man, before we get you out of here. And I always loved hanging out with you and having time with you. I had the opportunity. We didn't have you on hold, so you didn't get to hear it. I had the opportunity this past weekend to I've been private for years. I actually had to go into a friend's restaurant and help out. And, I went in and helped out. And, you know how I am. I'm a very positive guy. I'm fun. I set the tone. And I think the tone is very important to set. As someone who's an executive chef of a catering operation, a restaurant, a private chef, whatever the situation may be, corporate chef, how important do you think it is to set the tone for the actual, business itself?
Oh, it's absolutely important. You know, I mean, I'd have a really short meeting, not a long meeting, but, I always wanted everybody that worked for me to have a vested interest in what we did. You know, sure. I wanted them to be excited about the kind of food we were serving. I gave line chefs, opportunities that if they brought me a dish, I'd reimburse them for it. They bought the stuff, brought it to me, and we discuss it as a team. Sometimes we put it on the special. I learned as much from them as they learned from me. So, and I think you have that kind of thing going in, I think stuff like that sets the tone. You rule through example.
Right.
I think it's the most necessary thing that you can do, to putting out good food, is that you got everybody's got to be on the same page. Servers too, for that matter. We always had a tasting and my stuff changed every week,
Yeah.
So we'd always have a tasting and let them taste about what they were going to sell, and if they had any questions, and write down anything that might be of particular interest, allergy wise and that kind of stuff. But we always, it was always a thing about getting, getting really hopped. And then afterwards, if we had an exceptional night, I'd take them out to eat raw oysters and drink beer.
That sounds fucking on me. Great. I mean, is there anything, Jeffy, more you want to, Dan, Jeff, anything you do want to do more than go have oysters and beers with Chef Randy?
If he lets me eat them off his belly, ooh. I think I'm in. Is that what you mean? Would you lay on the bar and put oysters all over yourself?
I'm not doing that.
You got to pay extra.
You're so homophobic, man. Come on, it's New Orleans. It's cool down there.
Hair in my mouth is not cool.
That's what we do in New Orleans. It's Nolens.
I was in New Orleans. The Mexican in New Orleans. There was no, you chose whether you wanted to do it or not.
You chose. He's not saying it didn't happen. He said you chose whether you wanted to do it or not.
See, I come from a different time, I'm an old hippie, and the gay thing, I know I had so many friends who were gay, I had a gay friend once said to me too, you're not really gay unless you suck 12 of them. It could have been a bong.
Wait, Chef, so if you're like Jeff and it's only on number 10, you're still fine.
Dude, I pulled short 11 and a half. I'm good, man.
God, we're terrible humans.
Could have been a dick. Could have been a bong. Come on, dude.
Who knows? This is not doing good for my paid radio career on WNPR right now. This is not helping.
I thought you were gonna say your ego because you played a dick to a bong.
Both of you, thank you. Chef, we appreciate you. Hey, you got time to hang for 15 minutes? And we'd love to have you on. We got some news articles. Maybe get your opinion on you. You got a few minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Fuck it.
I ain't going to work.
Look, now we got Chef Randy with us. That's even better, Jeffy, isn't it?
Bam. Just like that.
Oh, I wanted to ask you something.
There was four.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to ask you something. You heard about Nick?
Absolutely. We were just talking about Nick in the front end of the show. We love Nick, and
Nick's
congratulations
going back to
him.
Colonnade, huh?
Yeah, big shout. Dude, he always wanted to go back. That's his home. He loves that place, and he's going back there with a big promotion, so shout out to him.
You know, I kind of sense that when he made the move to begin with, you know, I don't know. I, he was signing a heart. You know, I don't know. There was something weird about it. I don't know if his heart was in it at the beginning. I think he got into it, but
yeah.
You know, I think he was disappointed that he was leaving. You know.
Yeah, he loved. I mean, it was everything was his choice. No one like he didn't like get fired or pushed out. It was all his choice to move. And listen, that's my buddy. That's my brother. I love him very, very much. And
he did a great job at that. Chumbo and all that. You know, I mean, he turned that place around, didn't he?
Well, he opened it from the ground up and made it. Awesome. I've had dinner there. It was phenomenal. Like, he did a great job. I mean, dude, Nick is a chef, no doubt about it. That dude can cook his ass off.
No doubt. But he can cook his butt off.
He can, but he's also a very intelligent human being and knows how things go. And he loves that hotel, and he's happy to be back there. So we love him. Shout out to him.
Well, yeah. I'm glad for him. I really am.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jeffy, we got some news stories, a couple things happening out there in the world. I know we had five. I'm not sure if we got time for all five. Maybe we could break down to three and finish it with that research you did.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do this.
I'm going to pass the mic over to Jeffy and let him drive the bus now, because Jeffy and Dan have done some research on this and got everything worked out.
Absolutely. So we've already talked about a couple of this stuff. Transitions and stuff like that. It kind of just already came up. But a couple of things that I thought were interesting that are coming up more and more and more. We have gluten-free food, we have sugar-free, there's all these companies that are coming out with like alternative formulations for like, you know, flour alternatives or sweetener alternatives or keto pancake, whatever, you know what I mean? And then the newest thing I've seen is like people touting like, this is like a healing food, you know, this specific, you know, mixture of almond milk with whatever botanical is good for,
right?
You know, whatever, you know. What do you guys think? Is this something that we're going to see bleed into restaurants? Are we going to see like food becoming medicine at some point? Like, do you think the next big move might be restaurants teaming up with a nutritionist?
Yeah, let me chime in there, because I see a lot of that where I work too and what I'm doing and working with some of the companies I've been working with lately. You're seeing a lot more of that, of people who are like, we're juicing. On Restaurant Road Trip, Jeffy, I don't know if you remember, there was a great restaurant in New London where the chef insisted that the bar juice all their own juices, like fresh every single day. Every juice they use, they juiced. They had a mocktail program where they had beet juice cocktails that had no alcohol in them. They were juicing corn and making a cocktail out of that. It was pretty awesome to see and to see how it's changing. But, you know, it wasn't quite going the route of saying, hey, this is medicinal, but saying everything but, I think. Randy, have you seen any of this stuff happening down south where you're at?
No, not much of that. But, you know, let's face it, guys, food is medicinal.
Right.
You know, I think... from the outset, that we can do incredible things with real food, with real herbs and plant based materials and whatnot. I mean, I'm not so old that my mind is closed to all that stuff. Whether or not I would want to, you know, look into that further for me to teach, I'm not a big, you know, I don't think so.
Right.
I don't know. You know, I have my hands full of just teaching them basics, you know, but, you know, but no, I think the more we learn, the more we learn about food. I mean, the Indians had it right. They knew that food was medicine.
Yeah.
So who am I to argue with the Native Americans, right? I mean, I think it's always been so.
Yeah, I have a friend where we got off the track was with
all kinds of preservatives and weird stuff that
right.
got put into, especially in the 60s, you know, and they got really crazy, you know, and even now, you know, I mean, I don't know how you guys shop, but you know, I don't buy anything that I can't pronounce. You know?
I mean, that's actually a great rule to have, Chef. You can't pronounce it, don't buy it. I agree with that completely.
I'll buy it.
You know, for
you
know, sure.
I think whole foods are the best way to go. You know, I mean, I haven't eaten margarine in 40 years. For
yeah,
God's
you probably
sakes,
shouldn't.
You know,
it's terrible
I mean,
for you.
Yeah, of course not. It's horrible. You know, no, I mean, real nothing takes the place of real butter.
Absolutely. Hey, I forgot to intro. Our good brother Chef Dave is joining the program right now as well. So it's Chef Dave with us, and Chef Dan, and Chef Jeff, Chef Plum, and Chef Randy here hanging out with you guys here on a Thursday night here on Plum Love Foods.
As far as, but Plum, going to the point to wait, the extent
Randy,
that you're talking
what you,
about.
This ain't the Chef Randy show. What the fuck are you doing? I'm trying to bring somebody else into the show to join us on the on the conversation. And you're like, well, wait a minute, Plum.
Okay,
I fucking love this guy. Randy, I love you, buddy. Hang on. Let me just bring Dave in. Dave.
I almost died.
Dave, you hear us talking about these cocktails and things, and you work out here with us in the Hamptons. Are you seeing any of that stuff as well?
I mean, we have a raw juice program where I'm at right now. And we have, like, a fojito and a couple other things
the
like that.
The fuck is a fojito?
It's like a... So you know the word faux, F-A-U-X, right?
Yeah.
Hito.
So wait, hold on. It's not no P-H-O?
No, because that's like
that's a different thing. Yeah, that's a different thing.
Wait, time out. Let me just find out what happens in the rest of the world. Chef Randy, you ever heard of a fojito?
Is that like a fake mojito?
Yeah, see? He gets it.
Whoa, is he right?
Yeah, it's a fojito. There's no alcohol, but it's like, you know, a mojito made out of juice.
So it's like the mojito.
Whatever you guys want to call it, I just know it's tasty as fuck, and we call it the fojito.
Damn. All right. Well, that sounds delicious.
Hear that mic drop?
I did. That was Dan dropping a mic, I think, there. It sounds amazing. I love that. And I love that those programs are moving forward and changing. Anytime you can put fresh juice into something, I think it's delicious, Chef.
Now there have been restaurants in New Orleans that have been doing fresh juice bars, you know, for a long time, you know.
I mean, that's
nothing new. But, I mean, as far as the extent that you were talking a while ago, I mean, I don't know about that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know about medicinal being a thing. I think maybe in the future, Jeffy. So what do we think, boys? We all have microphones.
Well, I mean, the reason I bring that up, too, guys, is like because you know, look at 11 Madison Park. You know, one of the best restaurants in the world, totally vegetable based now.
Right.
You know, like I mean, if this is the trend and it keeps going this way, do you think that it could actually happen? Though, do you think it's something that we could see, or do you think it's like too weird, too much?
I don't think vegetables.
Hold on, one at a time. Dave, what'd you say?
There you go.
I don't think just like plant-based and vegetable-based means it's medicinal. I think once you get into like herbal aspects of things and start.
Well, that's what
like
I'm saying. Like, so that's one of the predicted food trends. That's what I don't know if you caught that beginning part. But one of the predicted food trends is that people are going to start introducing like more medicinal things into foods, and there's a bunch of big companies that are kind of been starting up. You know, like. Mostly juice companies that are adding botanicals and things like that to juices and trying to get them to become, you know.
All right. I mean, there's a bitters company out, and they do, like, somewhat medicinal, but you can add it to alcohol or whatever drink you want. And they do, like, Palo Santo bitters and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think it'll take off. I think people are already doing it. There's a restaurant in Michigan that's been doing it for... as long as I can remember, that just like
really that's already doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yep. And it was plant based, but they also, you know, started introducing like herbal extracts and things like that into their.
Is this in like a hippie community in Detroit?
It's like borderline. It's a. I don't know how to explain it. Yeah, I guess kind of.
I called it. Dan, we haven't heard from you in a minute. What do you think about all this?
Well, you know, all this is fascinating to me because I'm very big into all the ideas of using food to be medicinal, because I introduced a whole big smoothie program that we're doing at the pantry now, and like people are fascinated by turmeric and ginger and all these like simple ingredients that I've been using literally for years. But all of a sudden it's become this whole big thing because everyone's like, oh, turmeric and how it does, how... when you take it has a whole effect on, especially with COVID and the vitamins you take and vitamin D and zinc and how zinc is taken into the blood system. You need turmeric in order to do it. So people are kind of like trying to figure out how that's going to go. So
Or the turmeric that's affecting Dan's mic currently. Holy shit, did you hear the static on that?
Sorry.
Right. Feedback. Is it any better? There, a little bit. Nope. Plug it in better, maybe.
No?
Jeffy, so these drinks, these cocktails, these mocktails or juice programs showing up, do you think there's going to be more of them?
I think I think this is something that we might see take off somewhere. Like, I think that I think you never know. Like, there might be like restaurants soon that are going to be like, all right, it's flu season, and this menu is like designed, you know, specifically to help fight flus, you know, some shit like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's what I think. I think we might see more of it. Is what I think, but that's just my opinion.
We're gonna have Captain COVID cereals, like just, you know, anti-COVID. Herbally infused.
COVID's already
cereal.
Dead. Will you stop it? Now it's Delta.
Well, or something. You know, it's a new year. Next year could be COVID 22.
Delta Edward Niner.
I would like to shout out America. We beat COVID. Shout out. Right?
Shout out America.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Shout out America.
I still don't know if that happened yet. I think, like, it's still out there.
What? Dave, America. Why do you fucking think? Dave? Shut up, America. Beat COVID. It's awesome. Hey,
Dave?
Florida had COVID for 2 weeks. I saw it. That was all they had.
No, there's no COVID in Florida. Stop it.
Well, then, if that's the case, shout out to Florida. Attaboy,
shout out to Florida.
Why am I the only one clapping?
How about Louisiana? Is there any COVID down in Louisiana?
Yeah, because, you know, only 25% of the people here are vaccinated.
So it's still there. You still got a little of the COVID?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's not a lot. I mean, it's not a lot where I live. But in the, you know, in New Orleans and, you know, Shreveport, Alexandria, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that haven't been vaccinated. You know, that last number I saw is only 23-24%,
damn,
you know, of the population. I just don't understand it. But
are you rocking the mask everywhere?
What's that?
You still rock the mask everywhere?
No, I've been vaccinated for a long time. So the governor has lifted mask restrictions. So no, I haven't worn a mask in 6 weeks or so, maybe more. I don't know. But there are some hot spots. There are, you know, no doubt about it. A lot of people in the country. You know, I mean, most of Louisiana is rural. I think, you know, the cities are. Have a little bit better numbers, but the rural areas, they say, no, we ain't going to do that. They don't trust it.
That's crazy. I give a lot of credit to where I live here. I'm not in Connecticut now, but I live in Connecticut, and I mean, most of our state's been vaccinated, and it's. I mean, if you look at how the rates are so, I mean, we're less than 1%, less than 0.5% of positive COVID tests now, and you look at how much our vaccinations have just skyrocketed. I don't know. Is it a weird like conclusion to make there? High vaccination rate, low COVID.
If you got it that low, I would say that y'all beat it pretty good,
dude.
That's pretty low numbers.
It's less than 0.5%.
There you go.
Everybody else just smokes nutmeg.
But I think that's good. That will be a trend. I wanted to put my two cents on the trend thing. I think that will be a trend. I think you're going to see it in the cities. And of course, it's going to be. I think it's already big with a lot of vegetarian places, you know. And as the other trend you're going to see is that you're going to see more and more restaurants give a lot more vegetarian options.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
I agree with that, Jeffy. What else you got for us?
Well, the next thing that I read that I thought was interesting, a lot of doom and gloom, and I'm sorry about that, but it's just you know, the world sucks. But so the other thing that I read that I thought was really interesting was that the grocers all around the country are stockpiling frozen food, shelf-stable food, and cleaning products, all in anticipation of breaks in the supply chains, mostly due to labor issues. And also the prices are soaring on a lot of these products all around the country. So they're trying to buy now, they're saying, to like stockpile just to kind of be ready so there's no breaks in the chain. Like, what do you guys think about that? And I don't know, Randy, why don't you start us off?
COVID did some weird stuff to the supply chain, babe. Let's face it, you know? And not only in the way of food. I don't know how it is up there, but have y'all gone in a car lot lately?
Interesting.
There's no cars.
Yeah.
They don't have any automobiles in car lots these days. You know, they have maybe sometimes a quarter or less of what they used to stock, you know, here. Wow. All the car lots have no cars.
Well, that's interesting, you know, Randy. I just bought a new car in March, but I bought it all online from Carvana.
Oh, I see. Yeah. The new way to buy cars. I don't know if I could do that. I'm old school. I gotta go kick the tires and look at it. You
Dude,
know?
You have a week to kick the tires. You drive it, and they take after a week. If you don't want it, they take it back. No questions asked.
But you gotta pay for it. You gotta pay like shipping or something.
You don't pay nothing.
Really?
They reimburse the shipping.
You hear that, Carvana? Give us a call. We're always looking for sponsors.
I'm telling you, I wasn't sure either, and I bought the car from them, and it was a great experience for the most part.
Let me ask you this: are your local states still doing the unemployment insurance? Have they lifted those extended unemployment insurance?
Yeah, not yet in Connecticut. I know they're working on it. I know it's going to be gone. It might be gone in July, here in mid-July. But New York, I'm not sure what they're doing. Jeff, do you know?
I honestly don't really know. It doesn't affect me, so I kind of don't pay attention.
We can't. People can't staff their restaurants.
Oh yeah.
I know people that have multi units that are closing units because they can't find staff to them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
That's like an ongoing.
One of the Popeyes here in town that had a really good business before the pandemic has a total of 4 employees, so they only do one shift.
Wow. You know, they can't fuck with that sexist chicken.
Sexist? What's wrong with Popeyes? When did Popeyes become sexist?
No, but that Chick-fil-A is that shit, dog. That Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Oh.
Fucking that Popeyes sandwich right up, man. I'm sorry.
What is happening right now?
I'm just letting you know the truth.
But I think you know the supply chains of so many things have been affected. You know, I mean, it's I don't think we've come to really understand it all yet.
Are you buying? Do you think they're buying extra stuff at the college? Do you know anything about that?
I haven't heard that. You know, and I know the purchasing guy. So,
well, maybe they should. You heard it live at Plumlow Foods.
That's true.
Can I chime in?
Yeah, Dan. What about you? You own you run a pretty busy grocery store and gourmet fine food shop in Fairfield, Connecticut.
Yes, the pantry. Yes, so
sexy spot.
I can definitely tell you that for sure. Shit, it's weird. There's shit that's less available now than during the prime COVID season. And I don't know if it's because of staffing. It's a combination of staffing. Even where some of the, I'm not going to drop names, but some of the purveyors have actually called and been like, yo, we can't deliver your food because we don't have drivers. And
drivers and warehouse crazy. Workers. There's so many of those jobs right now that come with like bonuses.
Yeah. And just people just aren't working, and it's crazy. It's little things, and it goes into the system so deep that you don't even realize, like, or even think of something like a warehouse worker, even, or a dishwasher, or a line cook, or a server, or a busboy, and all these intricate little details of the food service industry that are going missing that people have kind of taken advantage of. It's kind of been like one of those things that you were like, oh, this is something I have readily available to me, and then when you know they're more valuable and you realize that they've been undervalued by, you know, the industry in general, and they're kind of looking for that up and coming, you know, money, because they do. I mean, there's people that I know dishwashers that are like, I mean, a professional dishwasher, like they come in, they do their job, they fucking clean like no one's ever cleaned, and you can have a fucking 150 of these motherfuckers come through the door and don't do half the job as this person does. And why shouldn't that person get the benefit of being a specialist in what they do? And if they've been doing it for fucking 20, 30 years, they should be paid like that. And it's hard for people to get past, it's just a dishwasher. Like, what the fuck does that mean? I had this fucking guy drop bacon grease on the fucking ground, and I talked to him about this. And I was like,
Dan,
no,
hold on,
the
hold
fucking
on.
Dishwasher Dan. Is not there Dan, to clean up Dan. After you.
Dan, sorry. You're snowballing into space, and I don't know what you're talking about anymore.
I'm getting hyped up. No,
I love
you,
but I literally, I don't. I just don't know what I don't know where that just went to.
I got I saw red for a
Dave.
Minute, my bad. Yes.
Dave, what about you? I mean, you're working at arguably one of the nicest yacht clubs on the East End of Long Island right now. Would you see any supply chain breaks for you guys, or I mean, you guys just you know that baller?
I mean, prices are fluctuating, but not too much of a supply chain break. Not yet, at least. So, but prices are going up. For sure.
So what you're saying is, like, you know, you guys don't have to worry about it because you're not selling stuff as much, or to people that are worried about the price as much, but things are getting more and more expensive. Like, your food cost is probably going up and up and up and up and up.
Right, yeah. I mean, you still have to kind of worry about it, but yeah. It's food cost goes up, prices are going up, so we'll see.
That's wild. So what do you think we can do as chefs here, like us guys?
Plum? Well, hang on, I gotta ask Dave, Jeffy. I mean, Dave, at a place like where you work, I mean, you work at a very, I mean, listen, it's a high end clientele where you're at. People pay a lot of money to be a part of the yacht club where you are. I mean, does food costs matter there? Like, can you say, hey, I want this, and we'll pay extra to get it from so-and-so. If person A doesn't have it, we can go to person B and pay $20 more, $30 more. Does that matter where you work, or do you not know?
I mean, yeah, it matters because the members own the club. You know what I mean? So
right, but membership is a flat rate, so... If these members are paying, just keep it simple. Let's say each member's paying $1 and you have 500 members, right? And chicken from Randy costs $1.50, but he can't get it right now. Do you 86 chicken, or do you call Jeffy, who sells chicken for $2.50, and who gives a fuck how much it costs?
No, I mean, in like a case like that, you know, we'd have to probably go with the second option.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that when you come to these private clubs. Randy, you ever had any experience at a private club like that?
Well, I know a lot of chefs that work private clubs, you know, and you know what's the bad thing about private clubs? They always have a board of directors to answer to.
Yeah, Dave
and
talks
somebody
about that.
On the board of directors is going to be watching the bottom line, bro, you know. Now, if membership is up and everything's rolling, maybe they might not say, you know, but right. If membership's going south, oh yeah, the pencil. Those people are going to be, you know, sharpening their pencils, and it's going to come up. You know, I mean, I don't know if Dave has the board of directors or not. Do you, Dave?
Yeah, there was like a board meeting, probably like two.
Those
three
are
weeks
always
since
fun
when
meetings,
I got here.
Huh? They go to...
I didn't have to go. Thankfully, I don't have to do stuff like that at all. So
good for you.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, they don't have to watch
what the
it,
hell is
I
that?
Think, as close as restaurant chefs have to watch it.
Yeah.
But they don't have carte blanche to be able to do anything they want.
Dan, does food cost matter at your... I mean, you run a very high-end, very well-known gourmet grocery store that has an amazing catering program, an amazing hot foods program. Does food cost, when it comes to these sort of things, matter, or is it more important to have the product?
It absolutely matters, because at the end of the day, if we can't sell it, then how are we? If one person's like, oh, I need it so bad, it's like, I understand that you need it, but we can't have it available for you at all the time. For instance, lobster right now. Lobster is fucking through the roof. No
yeah.
fucking reason at all. It's just fucking crazy. Well, apparently China's buying up all the lobster and all the seafood or some shit. I don't know. It doesn't matter, right? 6 2-pound pack of fucking... this fresh lobster meat that is fresh picked and bagged. And last year, we were getting, selling it. People loved it. People were doing their fucking lobster rolls. We were doing a lobster roll special. Everybody's fucking happy in this shit, just loving it. Yo, $665.49 for 6 2-pounders.
What?
Yes, 12 Whoa. Pounds. 12 pounds of lobster meat for $665.49.
In the words of my man Jules from Pulp Fiction, there better be some damn fine lobsters.
Yo, like, no, exactly. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, I'm not buying it.
At the end of the day, you got to make a profit.
Right.
If you don't make a profit, all the lights get turned off. Everybody goes off, okay?
Well, Dan.
No, I have to sell it for almost $80 a pound. Who's going to fucking buy that?
Damn, that's crazy. Hey, you should call me. I'll bring you
Oh, you're not going to get it?
I'll get you some Montauk lobster. It's way cheaper.
Shit. I'm coming to see you. I'm going to come back with it.
That's it right
there. I wonder what Canadian hard
out of the shell. Good luck getting it for cheaper.
Jesus. Yeah, well, Jeffy, we're running a little bit late here, man, so I know we've got one more thing to talk about. There's been a lot of controversy lately going on with Subway. I know that you had done some research, Jeffy. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, I had to go to Subway and collect many samples of their tuna salad. So the controversy is they're being sued right now by a group of people saying that their tuna is not tuna. They had the tuna sent out to a lab. They had it tested. New York Times has had it tested.
Right.
Here at Plum of Foods Live, we also decided to have this tuna tested, so we sent it out.
Massive
to,
expense here for the show, but we did it.
Absolutely. My good friend Kim Bong Hong,
mm-hmm.
From North Korea, he's an amazing scientist. He took the samples. He ran a bunch of tests. He did mostly PCR testing.
What was his name?
Which I'm sure everyone's familiar with. And it's actually come back recently, finally. Lab. Well,
What was your tester's name again? I didn't make sure I got it.
It's King Bong Hong.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, you can Google him. He's a fascinating person.
Professor Dr. Kim Bong Hong.
Yeah, professor.
Sorry.
Doctor and professor,
yeah.
Well, amongst other things.
Fucking, of course. What else are
you going to hire? Okay, so what's the result?
Whoa, Randy.
Randy was it, again.
Obviously, back listen. The people Chef Randy show. Let me answer Randy.
He's excited. That was
I know.
Fired up
he must eat this he's tuna every day.
He's like, this son of a bitch. You going to tell me the result or not?
And right, the so result, basically what they said. And Jeffy will tell you the results when we come back live right here on Plum Love Foods Live.
Next week. Plum Love Foods Live.
Tune in next week.
The results.
Oh, you bastard.
Listen, you want to hear something fucked up? Is that's how it's been. I mean, literally, we've been waiting months for this. It's about a month. That's not months. But anyway.
It was like 45 days.
Yeah, so this is what it came back. It says, there's no amplifiable tuna DNA present in this sample that we have obtained. No amplification of any products from the DNA. Therefore,
I want to point out,
Jeffy, identify the species.
Jeffy, I want to point out what we did was we literally ordered a tuna sandwich from fucking Subway, wrapped it, cryopacked
unwrapped it,
overnighted this shit, right?
Well, we took the tuna out of the bread. We didn't send them the bread.
Right. But overnighted it to them. So it wasn't like old tuna or anything.
No, we put it like cold packs on it, the whole thing. Vac sealed it. Yeah.
And
I talked to NASA.
P.S.
I talked to NASA prior to doing it.
What's the
best way? They said to vac seal it.
Right. And P.S. to overnight something to North Korea to be tested is about $480.
He's an American now. He's defected, but he's from North Korea. He's a North Korean scientist. This is where he got his degrees.
It costs a lot of money to send that far.
I wonder if it's calling.
Well, he's in Cincinnati.
It's true, he is. So, Jeffy, the results were. Say it one more time.
I was like, I just said them. There's no amplifiable tuna DNA present in this sample.
So that begs the question, right? Chef, let me ask you, all chefs, let me ask you. We'll start with Randy. I worked at a restaurant for a minute where the chef talked about putting speck into a pasta dish, and he never had speck. He would always use prosciutto. We all know the difference. They're both different sides of the river. But does it matter, Chef? I mean, look, because of the research Jeffy did from King Bong Han and everything he put forth and the money our show put forth to this, there is a lawsuit currently happening against Subway. I've had a Subway tuna sandwich. I love it. Put hot peppers, a little spicy mustard. It's delicious. But, Chef, how many people have you seen in a restaurant say they're using something and it ends up not actually being what they say they're using?
Well, I never did that in my restaurant. You know, I can tell you that. I mean, other than making, anglaise out of ice cream. I would never sell something and tout it as being something and it being something else. No.
All right.
Especially with proteins, and stuff like that. No.
I think it's totally dishonest. You know, I mean, yeah. You should be, if you say you're selling tuna, it should be right. Goddamn tuna, huh?
But so, like, in a pinch, you wouldn't do the spec for prosciutto thing? You would just 86 it?
I'd 86 it.
Wow.
Okay.
Chef's, cool. Chef's a fucking animal. I mean, he's a soldier.
It's the honesty. Right? I love this guy. Integrity. Yeah. It's, hey, man, I don't got to sleep with you. You got to sleep with you. I get it.
Wait, what? Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you're using something, just say what you're using. So, like, I don't know what the hell's in the tuna. I don't know. What is it? Like, they said they couldn't even identify it.
They couldn't identify it. So this is... So are you guys ready for my conspiracy? Or hold on. Let's get Dan's opinion.
All right.
Dan, give me your opinion on this.
Well, I mean, is it much different than an Impossible Burger? I mean, does it really matter? Like, what
great
is
fucking point.
Sandwich?
Like, no, well, it matters.
Like, well, tell you it's an Impossible Burger.
There you go, Dan.
Yeah, but...
But the point is that the Impossible Burger is a tuna sandwich.
Right, don't all talk you over each other. Take it easy. We're getting. No one can hear anybody else. I agree with everything you guys are saying. An Impossible Burger is labeled an Impossible Burger. You know it's not beef. If you're going to get a tuna sandwich and they say it's tuna,
you'd expect
to get tuna, right. Not Impossible tuna.
Randy, what did you just say, Randy? What did Randy just say there?
Sorry. Yeah, of course. If it's Impossible tuna, then okay. Then just say what it is. But if you're saying if you're hawking it as real tuna, shame on you.
That's where I'm with that. So my conspiracy is, though, ready?
Okay.
I was the sandwich artist many, many, many years ago at Subway. I remember opening the tuna cans. You know, they were just big cans of tuna.
Okay.
We pressed out the water, and we made the tuna salad on site. You know, it was delicious. It was fresh. What if, though... They're sourcing their tuna from, you know, somewhere in the eastern areas there. You know, it's coming off some boat, and there's a lab, and they were like, "Hey, man, you know, it's cheaper than tuna. You know, whey tuna.
Fucking, we got this wow. Fucking tile fish.
Yeah, it's like it's fish, but we grow it in this test tube. It's like tuna."
No, fuck that. No. Fuck you, Jeff. That's not an excuse.
I'm not saying it's an excuse, Dan. No,
if you're going to call it tuna, you call it tuna. I'd rather you say it's not tuna than that.
Well, my conspiracy, though, is what if whoever's selling it, like they're buying it, right? But on the market, I mean, you can imagine that. I bet Subway buys a few metric tons of tuna a year, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So. Wow. They're probably not buying from Sunkist, is my guess.
I would say a few metric tons a week.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, you know, they're not buying from Charlie.
Doesn't matter.
They're sourcing from a shitbag.
Of course they know what they're selling. Come on. They're not that.
I've tasted it.
Of course.
I didn't run out and get one now because I don't know what's in it, and I'm scared because I have the vaccine. Maybe it'll react with the vaccine and something will happen.
No, I mean, they know exactly what they're doing. Come on. They know what they're doing.
So is it a money-saving option? Is it a money-saving option?
Absolutely.
Randy,
I promise you.
Yeah.
That's what it always gets down to money.
Oh, there's some fuck goddamn money. Dave, what do you think?
I mean... Yeah, that's how Flint happened, saving some money.
That's it. Yeah, I love how you bring it back to Detroit, too. That was awesome. Take it hometown. That's what's up. Dan.
Back to Michigan.
Always some goddamn money, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm about to go check my tuna. I'm pissed now.
Jesus.
Fuck this. I'm about to go call somebody.
You want Kim Bong's number?
Yeah. We'll talk off
It's
air.
Reasonable. If you tell me, you know, you heard it through the show.
You know When I first heard about the news thing about this not being tussle, it's probably pollock or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the same thing they make imitation crab meat with.
Yep.
Like that.
So that's
but
the
if
thing
it's
is
unidentifiable.
Well, no. So this is it. We didn't pay. We paid for it to be tested so we could find out if what kind of tuna it is, and there was no identifiable viable tuna. So it doesn't come. We didn't have them search all the DNAs of all the fish to figure out what fish
that was. Another $500 to get like all, like what exactly it is. We were like, for $380 we can figure out what tuna it is, and they're like, you want all the fish, the $500.
Wait, Randy, all right. Randy, you want to fund that? Would you like to pay for that test?
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think
maybe
so.
Anybody excited?
Maybe the John Folsey Culinary Institute in at Nicholls State University would like to pay for that. That's a great studying point.
We're a state school, okay? We're a state school. We're not a private school. We're a state school. Shut up.
Look, the bottom line is the tuna, a.k.a. Air quote tuna at Subway, is not fucking tuna. What I can
probably
tell you,
dolphin, man. I seen that movie, The Cove. It's fucked up.
It could be chicken too, though, yeah. Jeffy. They just stir that shit in some tuna broth.
I wonder what it really is, though. I wonder what it, I mean, somebody's got, you know, since all this has happened, there's not one laboratory that has decided what the hell it is, or is probably not what it is.
Well, everybody paid for the little test. They didn't pay for the big test, so we got to wait a little bit longer.
Well, we have to understand, too, it's a very complex test to keep testing for all the strands of DNA, from what I imagine. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure they have some sort of computer named Molly that does it or something.
And generally, any kind of DNA expert I'm looking for, I always lean on Jeffy at first, because he's a DNA expert.
I mean, well, through osmosis, I've touched a couple.
It seems that they could be able to tell if there was some kind of fish DNA, though. I mean, I don't know, maybe not. What do I know?
Well, I think we all can admit that it tastes like fish.
So if you know, the
it was my wife's favorite sandwich there.
Yo, you know, Subway started in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Oh,
jeez. Really, man, why nothing started in fucking Bridgeport? Get out of here.
Yeah, Subway did.
Fucking Subway started in Bridgeport.
No, I think he's right.
It's called Pete. It's called Pete's.
So it wasn't Subway. It was Pete's.
Yo, I fell drunk on the floor, didn't spill my soda. Got picked up by my grandfather, had to go to a doctor's appointment, threw up in the parking lot because my mom gave me coffee to laugh at me for throwing up. True story.
I'm watching the lighter get thrown underneath the dumpster right now.
What just happened?
I'm watching the lighter get thrown. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with that.
I'm just saying, I've been to the original Subway in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Just saying, tuna or not, motherfuckers eat it. If you like it and it's delicious, then fucking eat it and shut up.
Get that t-shirt at chefplum.com/store. I've eaten at the original Subway.
This show really does stink. That's a big shout out to our
things that go down here, but there's also some really like some nuggets, like
no,
corn
there was
and shit.
100%.
Like,
there was some great knowledge right there in that in the past 15 minutes. There was some great fucking chef conversation right there. Speaking of that, big shout out to our good friend Chef Randy for joining the program. Randy, we love
absolutely
you, buddy. We always appreciate you.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks a lot, guys. Y'all be well. And I don't know, coming up with these top fives are getting more difficult, I got to tell you.
Well, we'll send you a few topics.
Let's collaborate, bro.
Let's make it every other week, Randy.
Can we just talk? I can maybe come up with a topic, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, I mean, listen, you have to have a gimmick. You always got to have a gimmick. I mean, you're becoming a regular. I mean,
why do I have to have
this
a
the other
gimmick?
Thing, Randy, they don't have to all be culinary. It could be your top five favorite cars. I don't give a shit.
Sure.
We just want you on the show.
He's right.
Like, you'd be I like, fuck. Chef Randy's top. Listen, guys, I've eaten a lot of corn chips in my life, and Tostitos are shit. But let me tell you about the ones I like and give us the top five. I mean, that'll be fantastic.
Tonight, it's Chef Randy's top five favorite pubic hair styles. Whatever you need, buddy. We're there.
You do the comb over to hide it.
Right. Whatever you need.
Yeah,
listen,
that's what I do.
There's no right or wrong. We'll talk. Don't worry. Hey, Dave, appreciate you, all buddy, right, hanging out with us a little bit and giving your opinions. Of course, Dan, you as well.
Dr. Detroit. Low Dan. Love you, boys.
I want some Detroit.
Always awesome. Thanks for having me. What did he say?
Randy thinks it's the Chef Randy show. Randy, give it to us. We're trying to end the program, sir.
Ever since you mentioned Detroit, I've been thinking about Detroit pizza made in those square pans.
It's not even.
I mean, are those really good?
It's a casserole. It's not a fucking pizza.
It's absolutely delicious. It's a casserole. It's a little more filling than a regular pizza.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it pizza. Oh.
It's not a casserole. Plum, you haven't had it yet.
It intrigues me.
It's really good. If you find a place that's serving it, you should try it, especially if they're making it authentic style.
Yeah, and Dave, I didn't say it was bad. No. I just said it's a casserole.
Well, to make it authentic,
you
got to
talk shit about it.
Don't you have the? Don't you need one of those pans that?
It's like an oil pan. Yeah, it's like an oil pan or a factory pan or something.
Look, we'll get our buddy Colin Kaplan, pizza expert, on the program here, and we'll talk pizza with him. And by the way, Dave, he defends Detroit-style pizza.
I remember that. So I was like, all right, this guy's cool.
Yeah, there you go. Cool.
It looks righteous to me. I don't know. I think I'd eat it. You
does
know?
New Orleans have pizza? Do they have pizza down in Louisiana? I don't even know.
Yeah, they put crawfish in it.
Yeah.
Well, Papa John's doesn't count, pizza. Chef.
No, probably in New Orleans, Dominica, one of John Besh's place, has some righteous pizza, you know. And
all right.
That's pretty good.
Louisiana pizza is going to be on my
ferment,
list.
They ferment their doughs and everything for 4 days. And,
I love Big Besh. He makes the best food, doesn't he? He's such a good cook.
He's a great cook. Well, one of my graduates is running August right now.
And, really?
Great restaurant.
They're doing good. Yeah.
God, I can't wait to come good. See you so
I
we
know.
Can party.
I cannot wait till fucking Randy takes us out to eat. I'm so excited about
I know, man.
Let's go.
Randy, we appreciate you, buddy. We love you. Thanks for joining us here on the program. Dan, Dave, always a pleasure. Jeffy, always. Hey, this show turned out pretty well for even though our guest canceled. We had a great guest line of night at Tijuana Danger Dogs for our music summer, and they had to reschedule. But, hey, this turned out to be a great show, Jeffy.
Absolutely. It's always a good time. Love you guys.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Hey, you're the man, Randy. We appreciate you. Folks, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. And we'll see you guys on VR and Population One.
Power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.